This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
With all of the flooding last year, the final crop insurance flooding bill is totaling $6.4 billion. Politico says flooding added a lot of money to the federal crop insurance payouts last year during that growing season. The bill, $6.4 billion thus far, is the costliest payout ever recorded. Most of the money is tied directly to spring and summer flooding in states like North and South Dakota, Minnesota, and here in Illinois. Meteorologist Steve Bowen, who works for the National Insurance Company, analyzed USDA data. He is quoted to say, given the record rainfall that occurred and the multiple waves of flooding that affected areas across the Mississippi, Missouri, and Arkansas River Basin, the heightened impacts are not terribly surprising. Last year was a very tough season for farmers, and there are concerns that already saturated soils across the plains and Midwest may set the stage for more possible flooding this year. Unquote. Last year wasn't the worst in terms of overall economic costs. Taking in the amount of damage to agriculture, infrastructure, and other property, the 1993 floods along the Missouri and Mississippi River remain the costliest disaster in modern history, coming in at $38 billion in today's money. Last year's disaster cost about $20 billion. Last year, USDA economists found that more frequent and intense storms will ratchet up the price of insurance between 4 and 22%, depending on the future rates of greenhouse gas emissions. Walmart has officially entered the beef business in January when it opened up a case-ready beef plant in Georgia after establishing its own Angus supply chain. The facility is the latest step by Walmart in its vertical integration strategy for food, according to a new report from Cobank's Knowledge Exchange Division. If Walmart's new beef plant and Angus supply chain succeed, it should lead to the retail giant to take another step up in the supply chain towards the producer. That could be in form of harvesting fed cattle or through a joint venture with a current packer. Will Sawyer, animal protein economist with Cobank, says, quote, "We believe their current beef strategies is something of a test, not only for Walmart and its suppliers, but also the customers," unquote. The new plant will cut and prepare steaks and roasts produced by Walmart's Angus beef supply chain for 500 stores. Cobank doesn't see the move shifting the price and leveraging dynamics of U.S. beef production, adding the move will account for less than 0.5% of the total U.S. beef production. In other ag news here on your Thursday, the U.S. Hemp Growers Association is seeking to help grow the U.S. hemp industry. Lori Boyer has this report.
There's a new group in town, and it's called the U.S. Hemp Growers Association. Karen Wilcox is the executive director.
The farm bill in December 2018 with removing hemp from the list of Schedule 1 meant that we could have new growth for hemp as a profitable and sustainable commodity in the United States. So some of us believe that it would be important to have a U.S.-wide national place for growers.
Wilcox says she is currently working to grow the organization by reaching out to hemp growing groups in states to work with hers, and a U.S. Hemp Farmers Alliance has merged with them. Wilcox explains that processing has not caught up with supply as of right now. Thus, this organization hopes to connect processors with growers, and she is contacting companies that are developing new products such as plastics, cardboard, and animal husbandry. In addition, she says they are working with overseas markets where hemp is legal to find out more about export opportunities. As the industry evolves, she says there are a lot of opportunities for hemp.
Insulation can be made from hemp. There's a company in Kentucky that has started to make flooring from hemp.
In addition to CBD oil, food products, and biofuels, the U.S. Hemp Association has offices in Kansas and Washington, D.C.
And again, that was Lori Boyer reporting from Colorado. In other ag news from around the country here on your Thursday, thanks to the spread of and the fear of coronavirus, oil prices have dropped considerably this week. Patrick DeHaan with Gas Buddy says that fear has pushed prices to lows not reported for months. West Texas crude oil was down to $49 per barrel Monday morning. DeHaan says fears over coronavirus have brought the second largest economy in the world to a virtual standstill.
Planes are not flying in China, nor are they flying to China, so you have perhaps thousands of flights canceled, transportation networks halted, people staying home in China, and the fears are trickling over into other countries. Here in the U.S., demand is eroding slightly as nervous motorists stay closer to home. And that's really the implication here, is entirely demand-based.
DeHaan says those lower diesel prices are being felt when it comes to area diesel prices. As for gas prices, the national average for a gallon of gas is down to $2.45 across the country. Illinois average gas price is $2.52, Iowa is at $2.25, Indiana at $2.29, and Missouri is the lowest in the nation at an average of $2.10 per gallon. Moving on now to local ag news here on a Thursday. It was a big day Tuesday at day one of the annual Illinois Pork Producers Convention and Expo for Montgomery County pork producers. During Tuesday's business meeting of the convention, Dale Wiedekamp of Raymond was elected to serve as president of the IPPA for the coming year. I was able to talk with Dale at the convention to catch his thoughts on being the newly elected president of the IPPA.
Yeah, it's a great organization. I'm able to step into. We have a great staff, and we have a great goals in mind. So we have a bit of a tradition, our family being on the board. So it's easy for me to decision to make to go ahead and be on the officer rotation, and now I'm president for 2020.
And then, too, not only being involved with it as a tradition, it's also a family tradition to be involved with farming. So let's talk a little bit about your operation there back home.
I am fourth generation. We have my niece will be fifth generation being part of that farm. Far back as I remember, there was livestock around there. I came back to the farm in 83, gone to college and went to Peace Corps for a while, came back and joined my brother and my father at that time. And we had cattle when I was younger and some chickens and hogs, and, of course, the corn and soybean. Probably in the 80s, late 80s, we started just focusing on pigs, and we're feral finished for a number of years, and then we transitioned just to finishing, and now we're contract finishing with Borgic Farms.
And then through the years of you being involved since the 80s, of course, the 80s were a trying time in themselves, mm-hmm. but you've probably gone through quite a few different changes within the pork industry itself. What would you think in your mind was one of those biggest changes that's happened in the last 30, 40 years?
Well, of course, everything's gone indoors since then. It was already starting to transition when I came on board. So definitely that, way better record keeping, and the technology is much better now. Just as you can have high tech in your cars and all the gizmos and keep track of everything, nowadays we can keep track of everything via our phone. So that's definitely changed, and have more peace of mind when I know what's going on in the barns at any given time. So that's a big one. Labor has been a change. You know, those kind of things are always changing, always challenging.
And then, too, in the current political climate, and now that we've got a few more silver linings with some trade deals and things like that, where do you think Illinois can go here in the future now that we've got some export markets opened up a little bit better now?
Well, we're getting back to some export markets that we were shut out of for a while because of retaliation. Those are coming back. Japan's coming back, and we might have to rebuild that one for a little while. Mexico and Canada shut us out for a little bit for retaliation. Got those back. We definitely need those. Now we're working on China. They have a 68% tariff on us. Like most other countries have 8 to 12. So we have a huge opportunity to move some product into there. But with the retaliation, we want to see some movement there. They've talked about it. We'll see where that really goes. They talk a good game, and you got to put pressure on them constantly. There's a potential there. It's not here yet.
Being president this year for 2020 into 2021 as well, what are some goals for you personally or just in general for the Illinois pork producers?
Pork producers, I'm a contract producer, and we don't – We have some representation on the board for contract producers, but there's a lot of individual farms out there that are contract producers, and I think we can potentially offer a lot to the organization. I wouldn't be on here if I didn't see some of the opportunities and things that IPPA offers, but I think there's a lot to come, and there's a focus from national and at state level. I think we'll see quite a few things coming out in the next year or two to engage the contract producer. And also get more women on the board. I'd like to see that. We have two on the board currently, and now we just added three more. So they add a different perspective than all the guys on the board. So I'm glad to see that, yeah. So.
And just wrapping up here, Dale, anything that I didn't ask you that you'd like to add or anything that's on your mind that you'd like to talk about?
I just hope we see some better markets here. We're struggling now. We do have some help from the market facilitation program. That's just putting a finger in the dike. So there's going to be some struggling going on unless we see some price movement here, keep our fingers crossed, and hope everybody can hang on for a while longer.
And again, that was Dale Wiedekamp of Raymond, the newly elected president of the Illinois Pork Producers. Moving on quickly now to our Ag Community Bulletin Board here at 6:40 on your Thursday morning. The Southwestern FFA alumni will be holding their second annual banquet and auction at the Tri-County Rod and Gun Club in Brighton. That'll be held on Saturday night. Doors will open at 5, dinner is at 6, and the proceeds will go to support the student chapter of the Southwestern FFA. You can still get tickets, and those can come from Casey McAfee, the advisor of the Southwestern FFA chapter. And that'll wrap it up for this Thursday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any Ag news for us or anything for the Community Bulletin Board, those items can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Thursday morning, February 6th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.